All right, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Our focus this morning is on the last half of verse 18 as we attempt to finish out the pieces of armor. Let's open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your spirit, that you have not left us to humanly attempt to understand your word, but you've given us your spirit to minister to our hearts and to our minds. We pray for these important things that we need to know. We confess our dependency upon you to reveal them to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. The armor of God. There are two commands beginning with verse 14. Two commands. Stand is the command. Rhymes. I didn't. Stand therefore. With four pieces of armor having put on one time, having your waist wrapped around in truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and after having your feet shod or bound in preparation of the gospel of peace, and over all this, having taken the shield of the faith in which you'll be able to quench all, not some, but all of the fiery arrows or missiles of the evil one. Second command in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The seventh piece of armor, as we've told you, is not actually a piece of armor, but is actually the inner workings within of the soldier. So it's not just like it is in real life. It's not just whether you have a uniform on and whether you have armor on and whether you have weapons in your hand. It's what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your inner person. And so Paul is saying that to take the helmet of salvation, which is what God's word says about your salvation as the protection for your mind as you get bombarded with thoughts by Satan about your doubts, about trusting the Lord. But he says, do this while praying. That is a present participle. And praying is the means by which we express our submission to the will of God. We're submitting to him by asking for his will to be done in all of our situations. We are then one with the commander in chief. We have committed to him and his orders, his commands, and his leading for the use of the armor in our battle against Satan. And remember the two things about what armor is supposed to provide for us. It's resisting the devil so that we can stand. There's nowhere to go. Once you have received Christ, there's nowhere to go. We are in Christ. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so when we put on the armor, we're already there. We're already with Christ. We are already in Christ. And so, therefore, we are resisting the devil. And like James says in James 4:7, resist him and he will flee from you. That's a promise. Just like the shield of faith in which we quench all of the fiery missiles of the evil one. Not just some of them, but all of them. And so we have seen that by praying for the Lord's will to be done, that we can have confidence that he hears us. We have that guarantee from God's word. And the capacity, our human capacity, is the reason why God made prayer this way. We have the capacity to only serve one master. And therefore, our attention, the attention of our mind, can only be occupied with serving one thing. So when we surrender and commit our circumstances and our lives to the Lord, we are serving Him and not our circumstances any longer. We're not having the attention of our mind occupied with the things of this life. We have committed them to Him. We finished up with the components of prayer last week. How we are to pray, it is through all general prayer and petition. When we are to pray, in every occasion. And who is to pray? We are to pray in or under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We saw that from Romans 8, 26 and 27, that in the midst of our weakness, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to intercede for us and pray to God because we don't know what to pray. So He is interceding for us to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether we're aware of it or not. But then there are times when the Holy Spirit allows us to participate, when He inspires us to pray to God. Again, expressing our submission to His will, but also in light of all the circumstances, our relationship with Him and our submission to Him. We saw in James 5:16 that the prayer of the righteous man, the prayer that has been energized, passive voice, by God, has much effect. It's not human prayer that has much effect. It is the prayer that is energized by God's Spirit. Now at the latter part of verse 18, not only praying, but it says, and watching into this same thing, that is prayer. Not just praying, but also watching. And the word watching is a present participle again. It is the companion to prayer in the Scripture, watching in prayer. In all perseverance and petition, the old English word supplication is the word petition, concerning all of the saints. Paul says, and on behalf of me, that speech or utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, that in boldness I am to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in a chain, in order that in it I may speak boldly as it is necessary that I should speak. So, the companion to prayer is watching. It's not only praying, but watching. There are two words in the New Testament that are translated watching that are in association with prayer. Two words. One is this word agrupneo, which means to go without sleep. Watching means to go without sleep in this particular instance. That is the negative command, the prohibitive command, is be on the alert because, and as you've already known, when you're really tired, worn out, mentally, physically, doesn't matter, that's when Satan likes to give us the worst time psychologically. It is very wise to wait, make major decisions after you've had a good night's sleep, after you've prayed about it, and not impulsively or irrationally in our thinking make decisions while we're tired, We have a tendency to make different decisions and see things differently. So there is a negative or prohibitive word that is used with prayer. Be praying while without sleeping. And in the New Testament, it's both used for literal sleeping, going without sleep, as well as metaphorically for spiritual, that Christians are not to be drowsy, lazy, apathetic spiritually. So take note of our condition. While we're praying, make sure that when we're sleepy, we are not overtaken, because that's part of Satan's plan, is to attack when we are sluggish or drowsy. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul says, "Now that our salvation is near, it is high time to arise out of sleep." And he was not talking about the fact that Christians ought not to physically sleep. He says we should wake up. That's the negative part of the command. There is another word, gregoreo, which is the positive side of this warning. It is not prohibitive, it is proactive or positive. Its definition is to be watchful and to be alert, actually be looking for things. So there are things that I am to watch for that I'm not overtaken while I'm tired. And that carries with it a whole host of understanding the fact that Satan, we've already studied this about the schemes of the devil, is that he has, plural, many ways in which he attacks us, not just one, in order to accomplish one purpose. And it might start first thing in the morning. And all through your day, you are caught up mentally and or physically in circumstances that start wearing on you first thing in the morning. And it goes all through the day. You know, it's been one of those days, you know. Just so that Satan can get us into the evening hours, when we are drowsy, sluggish, discouraged, depressed, and we're not praying. We don't submit to the Lord, because as soon as Satan tries to attack us, psychologically we have a response that is not trusting the Lord. We get angry. Why does this have to happen to me? What's going on here? So there's a prohibitive. Watch when you get drowsy and sleepy. And on the other hand, be alert. Don't get blindsided. Be looking for everything, because we were told to pray in every situation, every occasion. So I'm looking for situations to come up so that I can go to the Lord in prayer, so that I can submit myself and the situation to Him, because He is my protection. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark chapter 13. The first two scriptures have to do with the first word that we find in our text, to go without sleep, to not be sluggish. In Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37, this has to do with Jesus' warning about being alert to the being prepared about the last days. Verse 32, Jesus says, "But concerning that day and hour, no man knows, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." He's the only one that knows. "Take heed," literally be observant, "observe yourselves, be watching. That's our word, agrupneo. Be without sluggishness, be without tiredness, and to be praying, two commands. For you know not what the time is. For the Son of Man is like a man taking a far journey, who after having left his house and had given authority to his servants and to each man his work, and had commanded the porter, which is the door watchman, in order that he might watch. Be watching, therefore. Interesting, because now we have the other word. Gregoreo, be alert. Not only be observing yourself, the condition of your mind, and whether you're tired or not, but also be alert at the same time. Because that's the time that we need to be watching, because that's the time that Satan attacks. Be watching, therefore, for you know not when the master of the house is coming, whether at evening or midnight or at the cock crowing or the morning. You have your four sets of 3 hours, beginning at 6 at night. From 6 to 9 is the evening. 9 to 12 is midnight, the midnight hour. The cock crowing is from midnight to 3, and the morning hours from 3 to 6. You don't know when the Lord's coming. So be alert, lest after having come suddenly, he should find you sleeping. He doesn't mean you stay up all night. He's telling us that life has a way of putting us to sleep spiritually. I call it hypnotic. There are ways in which life just has us hypnotic. Hypnosis. We get into a little rut and get going, and it's almost like somebody put a spell on us, and I don't mean that demonically per se, but we know how the mind works. And Satan has a progression to put us into a frame of mind, lest he find you sleeping. And what things I say to you all, be watching. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Again, the precaution concerning the last days. This is Luke's version of the Lord's message. Luke 21, 34. And be paying attention to yourselves. That's how it literally reads. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or weighted down in surfeiting. Not surfing. This is not a scripture against surfers. You're weighed down in surfeiting. The word for surfeiting in Greek actually means to have a headache after drunkenness. So the whole scheme, don't wind up with a hangover. Psychologically, that affects you. Don't be involved with drunkenness, and don't be involved with the cares of this life. We could spend another 2 months just on that word. That's our word, merimnao, which means to occupy the attention of your mind. We can get so caught up with the cares of this life, even necessities. Jesus says, do not care for your life, what you shall eat or drink or what you shall put on. He says even the necessities of life can occupy the attention of your mind, and you only have the capacity to serve one thing. So don't be weighted down with the cares of this life, so that that day should come upon you unaware, without warning, suddenly. Verse 35, for as a trap shall it come upon all the ones who are dwelling upon the face of all the earth. Be watching. Don't be mentally and spiritually in slumber. Be watching, therefore, and be praying. Interesting word. This is for this word for prayer. It means to beg. You don't find it very often in Scripture. When you beg someone in prayer, you are binding yourself to that person. That's a very vulnerable situation to be in when you have to go to somebody and beg for something. You're putting yourself in a vulnerable situation, but that's the word that Jesus used. Be continually watching, therefore, and continually praying in every situation. Same phrase that we had back in Ephesians. In order that you might be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall happen, and for you to be able to stand before the Son of Man when he comes. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. This, I would say, is the premier teaching on praying and watching, both the prohibitive and the proactive. Matthew 26, 36. This has to do with, he's dealing with sleeping, physically sleeping, but he's using the word to be alert and to be watchful, not the word to be without sleep. Should get interesting. Then comes Jesus, Matthew 26, 36. This is before Jesus died. He was in the garden. He took the 12 with him and then took the 3 and went aside and was caught up in the anguish and agony of prayer before he died. But he took the 3 with him, and he wanted them to watch with him while he prayed. But they kept falling asleep physically. So he gives them a spiritual lesson here. Then comes Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and says to his disciples, sit here while I, after I've gone, I should pray over there. I like the King James. While I go and pray yonder. Some Southerners would probably like that. So sit here, there's the command, sit here while I go over there and pray. So obviously he doesn't have them directly with him while he's praying, but he's going to bring now 3 with him to participate with him and watch with him in prayer. Verse 37. And after taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be grieved and very distressed. Then he says to them, my soul is exceedingly grieved, even unto death. He is so grieved that it's almost producing death in and of itself. We think we have been grieved at times. That's right, unto death. Remain here and be watching. It's a command. With me. Be alert. Be on guard to the situation around us. And after he had gone a little further, he fell upon his face, praying and saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not as I myself will, but as you will. And so he comes to the disciples, and he finds them sleeping. And he says to Peter, Are you not able? Don't you have the strength to watch with me for 1 hour? 1 hour, Peter. Just give me an hour. Two commands. Be watching continuously. Be praying. Be alert and be praying in order that you should not enter into temptation. Here's the concept. Here's the principle. Here's the key at the end of verse 41 of Matthew chapter 26. He says to them, and I'll read it in the King James, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Literally, the spirit on the one hand is prepared. But on the other hand, the flesh is weak. What he's saying is that the flesh will be tired. The human element can't be expected to be alert all the time. This is the evening hour. Jesus isn't just picking an hour out in the evening so that he can pray and interact with them. There is an event taking place here concerning which Jesus is praying to the Father, but he's doing it in such a way so as to be instructive to these three, Peter, James, and John. But he comes to them and warns them. In essence, I know you're tired physically. It's the spirit that is prepared, but the flesh is weak. And right now you are physically sleeping and slumbering, which is what the flesh does. That's what the human does. I think I've told you before, I've known times when I thought, well, I've got time tonight to pray. I'm too tired to read, too tired to study, so I'll just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you hope that he accepts snoring as a joyful noise or something. So just picking a time when we're tired is hard enough. But if the sheriff's department was outside your house saying, "We're going to take you in and crucify you," that might wake me up a little bit, right? We think maybe the Reader's Digest at our front door saying, "You won $1 million a year for the rest of your life." That might wake us up. How about being crucified? So Jesus is, he's grieved. He's distressed of mind. He has this heavy load upon himself. And he's saying to these three, look what I'm going through. This is what you do. Be watching and be praying. See, they don't know that Judas and the officers are already on their way over to the garden to take Jesus. They think this is just, well, this is seminar on prayer. And he's trying to tell them, be watchful and alert even when you're tired. So it's prohibitive, be alert that you're tired, and proactive, be alert and be watching, not just about yourself being tired, but be alert to what's happening around you, because that's when things happen. We get blindsided. Be watching and be praying so that you will not enter into temptation, because something can come my way and I'm just too tired to pray and I'm so caught up with this and whatever's bombarding me now, I put it in the same bucket with everything else that's been going on today, and it's like this just icing on the cake. I'm not looking. I'm not looking so that I can pray and make sure my heart is right with the Lord and make sure that I am right with the Lord in this situation. Make sure that I'm not carrying this heavy burden that I was not meant to carry, because it will weigh me down. The Spirit, on the one hand, because he's showing a contrast, the Spirit is prepared. But the flesh is weak. So that's what he's saying. He says, we've got these two elements, the flesh and the Spirit. It's in our spirit where Christ dwells. Satan himself is a spirit, but he doesn't work through the spirit realm because I am in Christ. He cannot take me away from Christ or Christ away from me. So he works through the physical world that we live in and then we function in naturally in the human so that he can affect my mind. He can occupy the attention of my mind, get me tired, caught up, occupied. Takes my attention away from Christ. Be watching. When you sense that happening to you, be praying. Verse 42, and after he has gone away again the second time, he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup is not able to be removed from me, unless I should drink it," in other words, the only way the cup's going to be removed is to go through it, "let your will be done." And after having come back, he finds them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. It's understandable, but he's trying to get a point across. And after having left them and went away again, he prayed the third time, having said the same words or the same statement. Then he comes to his disciples and he says to them, "The remaining time, just sleep. You're going to need it for what's coming up. And take your rest. Behold, the hour has drawn near, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. We should be going. Behold, the one has drawn near who is betraying me." Big event. Are they in line with the Father? You can always go back to the accounts in the Gospel of John and study what happens in the garden, because now Judas comes with the officers and their clubs and their weapons and the whole thing. And Jesus stands there and just with his motley crew, it's not the music group, it's my description of the disciples. And Judas and a few hundred men, soldiers, come up. And Judas gives Jesus a kiss, because that was the sign he was to give to them, because it's dark at night. "The one whom I kiss, that's the one you're looking for." So after Judas kisses him, he says, "Now, whom are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, literally, "I am." That's the name of God in the Old Testament. Yahweh means the existent one. I am. He says, "I am," and they all fell over. Now that should have been, that should have meant something to the disciples, because they're like, "Whoa, we're on the winning team here." So they get up and they dust themselves off, and he says again, "Now whom are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "I'm him." Voluntarily, like he said in John 10, voluntarily he goes to lay down his life. Nobody takes his life from him. He does it voluntarily. But what does Peter do? He draws out a sword and starts whacking people up. What you get for sleeping, Peter? You're not tuned in here. Where Jesus even had to take the ear of the man that he cut off and put the ear back on the man and tell Peter, put your sword away. And they're all into this. They're not ready. Spiritually, they are not ready for what's taking place. They were sleeping. Lastly, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Again, Gregoreo, be alert and be watchful. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, that's sober-minded. We can become chemically or under the influence chemically of alcohol, and that affects our thinking. But did you know that psychologically you can be influenced and become psychologically inebriated just with the things of this life? That's what sober means. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking around seeking whom he may devour. Now that's the Christians. We're not talking about devouring their souls. We're not talking about losing their salvation. Again, a couple of verses before verse 8, he talked about this word merimnao, the occupation of the attention of the mind. Satan is walking around looking whose attention he might devour, occupy. He can't occupy my mind, but he can occupy the attention of my mind. He can get my attention, get me caught up in it. Anxious, worry. So be sober-minded and be watchful or alert, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking around seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, being steadfast in the faith. We resist him by trusting the Lord, knowing that the same sufferings or afflictions are to be accomplished in your brotherhood that is in the world. In other words, all believers are going through afflictions. So be sober. Be watchful. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. At verse 18 again, we are to be praying and we are to be watching into this very thing, that is praying, in all perseverance and petition. The word perseverance in Greek means to be paying attention to. That just goes along with everything we've been saying. Be watching in prayer and be persevering. Attending to these things. Don't put them aside. In all perseverance and petitions concerning all the saints. So it's not just for me to keep my life and heart and mind right with the Lord in submitting to him through prayer and committing all of these things to him. I know a lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord who might be caught sleeping. And I observe how we can run around like a chicken with its head cut off. Isn't that Brother Bob? Looks like Brother Bob, but he has no head, We're running around like crazy. And we know what Bob should be doing. We're told to be alert and be praying. Don't let it occupy you. Give it to the Lord. Let his will be done. just like Jesus in the garden. But you see, I can be at that moment, I can be alert, I can be have prayed, and I can be at peace with the Lord and see other believers who are going through the same things that I do when I'm not alert, when I'm tired and I'm caught by surprise. So not only am I to pray for myself, but I'm to pray for my brothers and sisters too, people that we know who are caught up in that trap. Of course, people tell them, have you prayed? Oh, sure. You know how that goes. One last thing. I want to finish this up for today because next week we have a big study in Isaiah. So we are to be praying concerning all the saints. The last item about prayer is the concern in prayer. What are we to be concerned about when we pray? He says, be praying for all the saints. He says, and for me. That impresses me. Here's the Apostle Paul saying, and pray for me. Paul wants me to pray for him? Wow. But can you see the humbleness there? Remember, he's in prison. In a sense, he's under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. And he's like that for a couple of years. He's under house arrest. So I know what he's going to pray for, don't you? What a terrible circumstance to be in, except he doesn't mention that. He doesn't pray for himself. His concern is not, oh, Lord, I've been chained to this rotten, I'm a nice soldier for 2 years now. When are you going to release me? No. The concern is how to proper represent the Lord and express the truth of Christ in the circumstances that we're in. He didn't pray for his circumstances. He didn't pray to get out. Just that, Lord, that I would properly represent you. He says, and pray for me that utterance or speech may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, that in boldness I should make known the mystery of the gospel. There's our phrase again, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery that has been hidden for the ages, that no one understands without revelation from God. He says, on behalf of which I am an ambassador in chains. Every situation that we are in, we are ambassadors for Christ. He's basically saying, I have been put here on purpose to represent Christ. Pray for me, not that I get out of my tough circumstances, but that I properly represent the Lord and that the Lord, by his Spirit, would give me the words to say, to explain the mystery of Christ. In which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as it is necessary for me to speak. Nothing about his hardships. That's between him and the Lord. That doesn't mean people can't pray for him while he's imprisoned or under house arrest. But Paul's not concerned about himself. He's concerned that he might not properly represent the Lord. And he's acknowledging that the Lord has placed me here. I am an ambassador in chain. Actually singular in the Greek, which means the single chain that has him chained to a Roman guard. I'm an ambassador for Christ. So just pray that when I open my mouth, that God would give the words that are needed for the revelation of the mystery of Christ. Very humble man. But he gives us tremendous insight in prayer. Now this brings us to a special time. We are finished with the study of the armor of God. Next week we want to take an overview, but we also want to take Isaiah chapters 30 and 31. tremendous chapters to show that this armor of God and the resistance to be able to stand is not something new in the New Testament. In fact, Paul took it from the book of Isaiah. And these concepts of resistance and standing have been preached by God since day one. And he says, that's the only problem my people have. They don't stand still and trust me. So next week, we take an overview of the armor. We'll take Isaiah chapters 30 and 31, which will also give you a preview of how our study in Isaiah is going to go, as we're going to study Isaiah after the book of Ephesians. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be alert when we are sluggish and tired. Help us to be alert when things come our way. Not only paying attention to ourselves and our own condition, but also the various things that come to us and into our life from the outside. Help us to be in that constant state, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, which means continually attend to this very thing. Don't leave off. Pray at all times, as it is part of our protection and provision from the Lord that we give everything to you, including ourselves, so that we can be at peace and know the joy and peace of Christ, knowing that we have surrendered ourselves and all things to him. We pray that by your Spirit you would teach us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.